Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, that God may teach us his ways and we may walk in his paths. Amen. Yes, we truly are God's children, and yet we are also guilty of sin and lawlessness. We do not yet fully see our future, and yet we do. Sometimes I really enjoy these word plays in Scripture, and yet at other times they simply leave me befuddled. Yet I have always found these letters of John, particularly 1 John, to be amazingly comforting to me. These words of Scripture remind us that God's faithfulness to us is not dependent upon our goodness, but rather on the goodness of Christ. More specifically, God will be faithful to us even though we ourselves are not faithful to God. Now, that doesn't let us off the hook. Sorry if you thought you were going to get a buy on that one. Rather, the onus is increased in our situation because the probity, the uprightness of Christ is already operative in our lives even before we come to learn the terms of our own lack in these areas. Since Christ is as pure can be, then we too should aim toward that purity as well. Yet even though we are God's children already, and all the people of the world are God's children, as I said before, even though we are God's children, we have a propensity towards lawlessness. And that's just how things are too. Luther explained it with Latin, simul justus et peccator, both saint and sinner. Because of Christ and his compassion for us through God's mercy and righteousness, we are put right with God and one another by God's grace through faith. Yet because we are a law unto ourselves so often, we also rebel against God and our neighbor at the same time. We are both good and bad. Justus et peccator. We do the right thing and we do the wrong. We are God's children, yet we do not always act like God's children. We are not yet what we shall one day become, John says. We are changing from one degree of glory to another, says Paul. We are morphing into the image of God in which we were created. We are evolving into a higher being than the one we are now. We are emerging as little Christs to ourselves and those around us. We are already God's children, but we have a bit of a ways to go before that reality fully sets in. We are very much like those disciples to whom Jesus appeared in today's gospel. Here we are in Corvallis, gathered together, and who is it who is among us? Why, it's none other than Jesus. Do you see Jesus among us? Jesus Christ has come to us this day. Before we came in the door, the Spirit of Christ was leading us here, calling to us, gathering us to this place, gifting us with the enlightenment and understanding of the Scriptures, and transforming us from who we were into what we are becoming. We see that process going on among the disciples in today's gospel. At first, they thought they were seeing a ghost. And then they looked at his hands and feet. Jesus invited them to touch, though none of them, it seems, actually did that. Then they began to experience joy. And yet, at the same time, they couldn't quite believe what they were seeing. Their doubts were rampant. Their fears were getting the better of them. They brought him some fish. They watched him eat. All the while this was going on, the disciples were wondering what they were experiencing and who or what this was among them. They were not so sure this was really Jesus. So he reminds them. He reminds them of the words that he used to teach them. Words in the Torah, words of the prophets, words in the Psalms. All that Jesus had taught to them started coming back to them and solidifying the experience they were having with Jesus. And that's what we have here today, too. The words of Christ, the words of Scripture, the witness of those around us, the gathering of those who know Christ and how he was crucified. These are powerful witnesses to the resurrection and the Christian message. Yet, are they enough? You may not be so sure about these things. The disciples weren't. Not only Thomas, but pretty much all of them had the same problem and the doubts. The only one afraid of what had happened. Not the only one. Thomas was not the only one who was afraid of what had happened. Not the only one that was not there in person. Questions and doubts about the Christ story are natural and common among Christians of every age, starting with the disciples and on down to us. Of course there are uncertainties. Of course there is second guessing. These are part and parcel of the experience of being God's people. All through the Bible, people second guess God. God had led the Israelites out of Egypt, and there they were in the desert saying, "What have you led us here to this God-forsaken place?" All through the Bible, people are wishy-washy about their faith. They're not all brave, strong Christians. Since the time of Jesus, people have understood, or rather have questioned the story of the resurrection. It is simply a story that seems too good to be true. People throughout the ages have questioned that story, and yet there continue in every generation, this one included, those who believe it to be true. God does not require perfect conviction beyond the shadow of a doubt on our part, but simple trust. And if not trust, then a yearning to trust. And if not a yearning, then a hope that there is more to all that meets the eye. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. What we see now is like looking through a bad mirror. Things are cloudy, out of focus. Our acuity is poor. We aren't there yet. We are on the road. We are in process. We are on a journey with God. And one day that mirror will be cleared up and we shall see clearly. We shall know our Savior face to face. There will be promises fulfilled. The promise in today's scripture, as Christ is pure and righteous. One day, we too will be pure and righteous. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children. For beloved in Christ, that is what we truly are. Amen. All the paths of our Redeemer are steadfast love and faithfulness. Amen.